So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
A final fantasy draft review. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship. I thank OriginalHooters.com and all of the locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, or if you will, West Central Florida, for 9 straight years. Of support of this podcast. My email for fantasy purposes is right.todd@yahoo.com. Keep sending in your drafts, your comments on the draft, some screenshots either of a big board or of what you have, what the draft is. We did an entire podcast, two or three removed, with a bunch of emails, and then some came in right after I did that. I'm going to try to make time to do a little bit more on that before we get to the beginning of the season, but we're off to a good start with some email activity, right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks also to Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, call 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com, your full-service law firm. They continue to help me in the podcast universe and on Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments with golf season fast approaching, football season fast approaching. Recording this very, very late, almost midnight on the East Coast on September 3rd, I think on a previous podcast, I may have said August, even though we had turned the calendar to September. This was the latest I have ever done a fantasy draft in any league. And it was because some things had to be pushed back. There were some conflicts to get what is pretty steady membership in what I call simply the foundation. This is year 11. For the Fantasy Football Foundation, we play solely for the Jimmy McGinty Trophy, which we even did a brief moment of silence because Jimmy McGinty and the actor who played Jimmy McGinty in that movie, The Replacements, passed on since we last awarded the trophy. So trophies are often named for those who aren't with us anymore, and ours is. And I even said it means more now. Whoever wins this in year 11, you get your name on the trophy. We had a room with 10 people for our 10-team league. I made a point of saying 8 people in this room have their name on the trophy, in addition to Jimmy McGinty's name, played by Gene Hackman, on the front of the trophy. 2 have their name on it twice. And 2 in the room still do not have their name on the trophy. The trophy was also returned after spending the entire offseason at one of the stores run by the man who won it. Josh Fernandez of PDQ in Tampa has been on display at the PDQ in West Chase near the Costco and the Ford's Garage and West Chase Golf Club for many months. And much like the winner of the Open Championship has to return the claret jug when the Open Championship begins on that Monday, we require our champion to bring the trophy back. Dave Wirth also returned the Ass Man plate for finishing last, which will go up for grabs. So let's review some of what happened in the foundation draft. You've got a lot of savvy veteran players who know one another. I mean, we even talk about this before picks are made, how certain owners draft certain players or draft a certain way, or when an owner drafts a player, they look immediately at another owner And the owner looks at them and says, damn you. I mean, that's how much we know each other from playing against each other. Now we're going on our second decade. We got 8 names on the trophy. Again, 2 of the names are on there twice. It's really something. It's really special. And thanks to Benjamin Hamm and Countryside Country Club for hosting our foundation selection meeting, fully catered tonight. We did a closest to the pin putting to determine selecting draft order. We had never done this, which I'm sure stuns a lot of you based on my golf background. But we have a lot of golf people in this league. Jared is the general manager of West Chase Golf Club. Tara is a golf wife to Joey, who is the director of golf at Tampa Bay Downs. Dave is in golf operations for the Innisbrook Resort. Ben, golf professional at Countryside Country Club, and me, entrepreneur and owner and operator of the Todd Wright Tour. So we all took a putt determined on a random order. It was a lengthy putt. It wasn't like 100 feet or anything. It was makeable. And I actually had to putt first, and I hit a very good putt. I just went a little far, but was right at it. And then right after me, I think, was Tara. And Tara literally rattled the stick. We were on the putting green. She rattled the stick. If the stick isn't in, the putt drops, and she makes it. And then someone has to also make it to have sort of a playoff. Then her husband steps up, hits a putt, lags it just inside of Tara's mark, and on from there we went. So Joey got to pick his draft position first. He chose 4. Tara picked 2nd. She chose 3. So they were back to back. That's fun for husband and wife. And I again took a transfer spot. I took the 10th spot, just end of the round, end of round 1, because it's less work and I'm running a draft. In retrospect, I guess I should have flipped the script and gone first. Last time I did that, I won the league, and it's still half the work. But Jared went to that spot. He showed me those transfer spots can work. So Jared took the first spot. And he didn't do it. He didn't take Ja'Marr Chase. He didn't take Saquon Barkley. I would have taken Barkley. He took Bijan Robinson. And what's interesting is for the first time this year, I was listening and watching some of the guys who do the NFL Fantasy Live on NFL Network. And it was Rank, Marcus Grant, who I used to work with at Sporting News Radio, and I forget the name of the other gentleman who was actually hosting it, but he's done a solid job for a while. It was just those 3. And they were talking about Bijan Robinson, and I think one was talking about how he would be his first overall pick. To me, that's just a big leap of faith to, in what now, year 3, you're taking him number 1 overall on a Falcons team that's not a playoff team, with first full season under a new quarterback, with really only 1 proven option in the passing game in Drake London. I just think that's going too far on Robinson. I owned him when he was a rookie. I refused to own him last year. Didn't talk him down as much as I tried to talk a lot of you out of taking Breece Hall in your first 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. But Robinson at 1. And I have a lot of respect for Jared, both as a golf general manager and as a fantasy player. He's won championships in our league and other leagues. But taking Bijan over Barkley and over Chase, stunned me. Second pick to Sean was Chase. Third pick to Tara was Barkley. Then Gibbs 4, McCaffrey 5. At least in the last two leagues I've played in, my 12 team and my 10, McCaffrey hasn't fallen. Now remember, I'm in another league where you got to play two at each position, and McCaffrey went 15th. But based on fantasy football calculator, ADP, especially for standard scoring, modern 21st century fantasy football with no half point or full point PPR, and McCaffrey has been at least middle, kind of middle part of the first round, and that's where he went here. Genty went 6th to our defending champ. And I have been sensing, we touched on this, I think, on a previous podcast. When it came down to it, I think a percentage of fantasy owners just weren't willing to invest their first round draft pick in Genty. And that his ADP dropped on draft day. That there were fantasy players that felt good about him, were very interested in him, were excited about him, and then they didn't do it. Now, I also think that is more specific to the leagues I play in, where we start over every year. In a keeper league, clearly, right, Genty was first choice in keeper leagues amongst the rookies. I get that. But he went 6th to our defending champ. So he's projected as an RB1. Then it was Lamb. And then Doc gets in my way a lot because Doc's a very good fantasy player, professor of geosciences at the University of South Florida. Much as Doc got in my way, picking two or three spots in front of me in our 12-team draft as a drafter for Drew Garabo, who's going to then be the general manager, Doc took King Henry. I kind of went into this draft saying, I don't want to do the exact same thing that I had done in my 12-team draft. It's a 10-team draft, so I should have, as the draft goes on, better available players than a 12-team. So it's just simple math. But I said to myself, I'm not going to take all the same guys, right? Eggs in the same basket or what have you. Because if you take all the same guys and you're wrong, your fantasy year is over, especially if you invest high picks in them. So I was thinking 10-team league, let's get King Henry at 10. I guess I was too optimistic. Or I should have chosen to pick a little earlier. And what's interesting is I had for a moment there, again, I had third pick of draft position, and I was thinking, okay, do I just pick 6 or 7 and take King Henry? And then I'm like, I still have to run this draft. Let's just take the transfer spot and operate from there. So had I done my first instinct, King Henry would have been there for me at 6 or 7. Doc ends up taking him at 8. I was hoping to get Henry at 10, but no. Amon-Ra St. Brown goes at 9. I still took Josh Jacobs as my first player. So I am very heavily invested. For those of you who want me to be of my word, good or bad on these podcasts, I just proved it to you. You can go back on in my television segments on Spectrum, on Bay News 9 in Tampa Bay, Central Florida News 13, earlier podcast, I said this year I wanted to own Josh Jacobs. I am fully invested in Josh Jacobs this year. So I backed up my words. If Josh Jacobs has a great year, I should be contending in most of my leagues. If Josh Jacobs fails, gets hurt, misses extended time, then I have to figure out a way to fill my RB1 void, and I use draft capital on that RB1 rather than a wide receiver one, and we'll see if I can make up the difference. So second round in my 12-team league, so I got Jacobs at 10 in this league, where I got him at 12 before, and in the 12-team league, then I took Kyren Williams next, and Kyren's just sitting there. But in the 12-team league, I remember thinking, do I take Nico Collins here? And that was on my mind again, and my belief that Nico Collins is better than most people think and is just going to continue to get better, and CJ Stroud and the new OC are going to feed Nico Collins this year. And I'm going to hope for good health. So instead of taking Kyren Williams, and with Justin Jefferson still on the board, I know, and I've owned Justin in the past, and I'm intrigued that on a cereal box, if you look closely at your favorite grocery store, these days Justin Jefferson is on the front and the back of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And on the back, there's a question about strangest place you've eaten breakfast. And he says, in the bathtub. I'm guessing that's cereal. What else could it be? Because I don't know if you call it, I'm guessing cereal. I took Nico Collins. I just didn't want to replicate what I did in the other league. I guess a little part of me said, could Kyren fall all the way to 30? And I get him there. I didn't think so, but I took Nico. I had almost done it in the 12-team league. I did it in the 10-team league to start the second round. Then Lamar Jackson went next. So QB1 went 12th overall. Then Nacua, then Justin Jefferson, going 14th overall. That second year in a row is totally reflective of uncertainty of the quarterback position. That's all that is. Bucky Irving then, and this is a Tampa Bay-based group, with some Bucs fans, actually more Eagles fans than Bucs fans. But Bucky goes 15th overall. Then Chase Brown, then Jonathan Taylor, then A.J. Brown, then Malik Nabers, then Kyren Williams in the transfer spot. So if I, if I had done the transfer and picked one, I could have, if I wanted, have gone, wow, now that I look at it, look what I could have done. I would have done Barkley, number one overall. Kyren Williams, which is what Jared did at 20. And then I would have taken Josh Allen, 21. And then I just start clicking off wide receivers and tight ends in rounds four through eight and nine, and sprinkle in a backup running back or two. So I have draft position envy. Third round went like this. It went Brian Thomas Jr., then Josh Allen, then T. Higgins. So Tara, no, she has Saquon Barkley. I was about to say, does she have three wide receivers? Did she pull the Ira Kaufman? She did not. She has Barkley, A.J. Brown, T. Higgins. Then her husband, Joey, though, went running back, running back, running back. Gibbs, Taylor, Cook. And we're a league where you can only play two of them. So that's interesting to me. As a matter of fact, Joey didn't get a wide receiver until round six. He took a tight end in 5, and he took Joe Burrow in round 4. So his wide receivers could be a shuffle for a while or all year trying to find the right combination. But he goes Cook, 4th pick of the 3rd round. Jaden Daniels then went 5th. Jalen Hurts went 6th. I was hoping, like in my 12-team league, Jalen Hurts could fall to me at the end of round 3. Did not. Then Achan, then Bowers doesn't fall to me end of round 3 in this draft either. Thank you, Doc. Then David Montgomery. So end of round 3, Drake London fell to me. And then I tried to stay away from the same things I did in my 12-team league, but I still had to take Mike Evans there. Just too damn good and consistent to pass up. In a situation with the same quarterback playing on the same team, putting up 1,000 yards per year, scoring touchdowns. You know, he's one of only 3 players on the 32 active NFL franchises who's their leading scorer and isn't a kicker. The other being Rice, 49ers, Emmitt Smith, Dallas Cowboys, and Mike Evans, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I start the 4th round with Mike Evans. Then DK Metcalf, then Ken Walker, Amarian Hampton. I thought about Chuba Hubbard and having 2 wide receivers, 2 running backs through the first 4 rounds. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take Chuba Hubbard with the 31st pick. And I really like him. But I don't like the team enough. I think his number's going to get called a lot. I think he's a good football player. I guess it's just, is Carolina going to be behind so much that as much as Canales wants to run the ball and will likely give Hubbard the ball on first down, Bryce Young's going to have to throw it because they're coming from behind. So Hubbard goes 4 picks after I passed on him at 31. He goes at 35. Then Ladd McConkey, then Joe Burrow, then James Conner, who went end of round 2 of our 10-team draft, which also, as I was inputting the data on Yahoo, I thought this was very significant. Todd Wright Tour player Peter, an experienced fantasy player. I'm looking right at it. So he went Jamar Chase, number 1 overall, with the first pick. And then in a 12-team league, he took Connor as his RB1 at the end of the 2nd round. As I was inputting the data, based on ADP of Yahoo, Chase 1, Connor 44. I thought that was interesting, that gap, that the wraparound and the end of the 2nd round is a player with an ADP of 44 in a 12-team league. What was the rest around? Connor, then Breece Hall, kind of came out of nowhere from Sean, who's a 2-time defending champion, and JSN. 5th round went Tyreek Hill, Alvin Kamara, Devontae Adams, George Kittle, Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, so some back-to-back quarterbacks there, Aaron Jones, and then I took Marvin Harrison. So I go wide receiver in rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5. I can play 3 of them each week. Then I took DeAndre Swift as my 2nd running back to start round 6. That was followed by Devontae Smith, Travion Henderson. I just couldn't buy that lottery ticket on Henderson. I just couldn't do it. Then Addison, then Xavier Worthy, then Ibuka, then Garrett Wilson, then Mahomes went, then Zay Flowers, then DJ Moore. 7th round went Pollard, Pickens, Pacheco, Pearsall. I know, four P's in a row. RJ Harvey, McMillan, Javonte Williams, Rashee Rice, McBride. And then I took Jaylen Warren. Because there just seems to be a lot of talk about Jaylen Warren having a pretty significant workload, at least to start this season. Caleb Johnson's listed as third on the depth chart to start the season. Yes, I think Kenneth Gainwell is going to play, but it feels like on first and second down, Jaylen Warren's going to be out there. And that might translate to a lot of touches for a guy that many people, not just Steeler fans, have been saying, he makes big plays. Why aren't you using him more? So I guess we're going to see. I will just finish up with what I did the rest of the draft. So I went Jacobs as my running back in the first round, then four straight receivers, Colin London, Evans, Harrison. Then I went three straight running backs, DeAndre Swift, Ben Johnson, get a piece of the Ben Johnson offense, Jaylen Warren, then Jordan Mason. Jordan Mason, kind of below the surface of guys I have to have, was in that next tier. I feel like something good could happen there in Minnesota. It's not like he's behind someone who's really, really secure in the job. So Jordan Mason, and when he played in San Francisco, he put up great numbers. Kyle Shanahan's a good play caller, knows offense. Kevin O'Connell's a good play caller, knows offense. So I got Jordan Mason. Then I took Tyler Warren, another rookie I'm excited about, could put up a lot of numbers. Finally, I got a quarterback in round 10 in Caleb Williams, again playing the Ben Johnson card. Then I scratched the Ollie Gordon $2 lottery ticket in round 11, then grab one more quarterback, Justin Fields, feeling he's going to run a lot and hit some big plays. And then my Mr. Irrelevant with the last pick in the draft was just a kicker, and I'm going to start off with him and see how things are going. Cam Little isn't just a guy who hit a 70-yarder in a preseason game. You go back and look at Cam Little's percentages in year one on a Jaguar team that nobody watched. And I think I talked about this on another podcast. The Jaguars last year were so obscure that they never had Al Michaels call one of their games. They never had Mike Tirico call one of their games. They never had, who's the number one, the number one guy on Fox with Tom Brady call one of their games. I don't even think the number two team on Fox ever called one of their games. They got a primetime game on a Monday night, but Buck and Aikman didn't work the game. It was what, Fowler? What's that combination? Fowler, Riddick, and I don't know. Orlovsky. They were never in a TV window, a featured TV window. Cam Little never missed an extra point last year and missed a few field goals. So for those that think the Jags offense is gonna be better with Liam Cohen, with Travis Hunter, might be more opportunities for Cam Little. So I took him as Mr. Irrelevant. I'm gonna let him kick for me, at least in week one, against a former Jaguar kicker in Matthew Wright. Most significant thing of Matthew Wright, if it wasn't for Matthew Wright, Urban Meyer doesn't win a game as an NFL head coach. Matthew Wright's field goal kicking won Urban Meyer his two games in his storied tenure as head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, you didn't need to know that, did you? By the way, one of those losses was Sean McDermott and the Bills. Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.